Listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Quasi cerebral talk and tunes. This is typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here is what we've got cooking up this hour on typically Tuesdays. Are you ready? I sure hope so. Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF is produced and recorded this episode on the unceded stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship of the lands and the waters. My name is Leslie. And I've got people with me in the studio today. Very excited to have them on the program. You've heard them on the show before at various times in the inception of the program, because we are friends. And I guess it would be kind of weird to like bring people who aren't friends onto the program, but then also like I do also bring people who aren't friends onto my program. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Please introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Sam.
Hi, I'm Brianne.
And Brianne is joining us from her little village, closer to the inland. What is it called?
Interior.
Closer to the interior. Sam is with me here in the studio, and it's an exciting time for me. I've been wanting to do this particular episode of Typically Tuesdays for several years now, but because of the timing of certain things that happen in my life and at the station, I haven't been able to do it. But I thought this year, timing is just right, and I want to bring on two friends who I've known since my young years, I guess, who've also experienced this type of event with me. Halloween for this week's Typically Tuesdays. We're talking about monsters. Period. Did you say woo or boo?
I said boo, but it should have been boo.
Okay. 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 Brianne, thoughts?
Yeah. Monsters are fun.
Nice. Great. Today, actually, we're specifically talking about, I'll give a little bit of a background, I guess. A few years ago, Sam and I went to visit Brianne in her home in the interior, and one of us, I forgot who it was, maybe, was it me, or maybe it was you, Brianne? One of us, we decided to start playing this game called Monster Prom. And it is...
That was you.
Okay, that was me. It is a animated dating simulator in which you play a character who goes to a high school with monster characters, and you're trying to seduce and romance them to bring them to prom. There's a colorful cast of characters in the game, and we played it at Brianne's house, and we got so hooked on it that all of us just started to like kind of follow the series and play on our own afterwards. And the idea today is to talk about the intersection of romance and monsters, I guess. Not because of anything in particular, but because, haha, it's funny and tongue-in-cheek to some extent. Yeah. So that's the deal for today. We're gonna start off, oh my god, I feel like I'm talking in such a somber tone for some reason, for something so, like, actually, like, not serious and very lighthearted. But, the shenanigans will come, on this hour. Stick around if you want, I don't know, a couple of What does that mean? I'm just a girl. We're just girls. We're mm-hmm. just girls.
Talking about monsters.
Talking about monsters. Enjoy the program. We're going to start off with some music today. Decided to choose music that was like kind of like, I don't know, horror adjacent in some way. Most of them are not scary, but they will mention like a ghost in one line or something, or the album art is like of a ghost or something like that. We're stretching here. We're aiming high. We're reaching further. More on that later. For now, let us listen to some music. This is Dead Horse by a favorite here over at Typically Tuesdays, Ribbon Skirt. And hope you enjoy here on 90.1 FM CJSF.
Breaking down again. I can't. This is Bird Note. Descriptive names can be a great help when you're getting to know a new bird, like the five-striped sparrow. Like many sparrows, this little bird is mostly dark gray and brown. But the five white stripes radiating from the center of his face, and that distinctive song, are unmistakable. Similarly, the band-tailed pigeon gets their moniker from the band of light gray feathers at the tip of their tail that these stocky birds display in flight. Or the barred owl. That name isn't because these owls are excellent storytellers or jailbirds either. It actually refers to their striped backs and streaked chests, like alternating bars of colors running across their bodies. The streak-backed oriole and lineated woodpecker have similarly patterned plumage. They'd be joined by the flammulated owl, a tiny raptor with streaky feathers and a flash of orange, whose name evokes the ephemeral shapes of a flickering flame. Whether a bird be flammulated, lineated, banded, or barred, you can learn more about them at birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Remmel. BirdNote is grateful to the many contributions of Dr. Gordon Oriens and for his ongoing support of the show.
Yeah. special.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Sam.
And I'm Brianne.
Yay, we have returned. I hope you enjoyed that track there. That was Gnostic Flesh, Mortal Wound. Oh, Mortal Hell. Gnostic Flesh, Mortal Hell by Health, Backwash, and Horror. I really enjoy that track, personally. Brianne cannot hear any of the music that we are playing as we record this program. But that's just how it is. We're talking about monsters. We're talking about loving monsters as we played Monster Prom. Okay. Sorry, I'm just looking at our group chat right now. Anyways, we played Monster Prom a few years ago, and then all three of us got pretty into the series. I think all of us have since kind of, like, dropped it just because we're focusing on other things.
Yeah, I still follow them on Instagram, and they've come out with a fourth game.
Oh. Whoa, Brianne looks so shocked.
This is news to me.
Yeah, it's called Monster Con.
Oh, like a convention? Yeah. Or like conning people?
No, like a convention.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys want to like list the romanceable types of monsters?
Okay. Sure. What are we getting ourselves into when we're when we're romancing monsters in Monster Prom? Go ahead. Anybody?
I mean, there's like vampires and werewolves. Those are the...
Yeah, there's like classic monsters, and then there's like... There's a character that's sort of Medusa-like, so you're getting into that kind of monster.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like a Frankenstein or a Dracula vampire. The Wolfman's in there. There's a poltergeist ghost.
There's a mermaid. I forgot
There's
about
a
the mermaid.
In the main?
Con? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The princess.
The princess.
Yeah. And then at one point, I don't know if it's like a downloadable content or something, but like there's the Eldritch monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the computer.
Yes, and
oh,
a demon.
Yeah.
The demon?
Yeah, the red boy.
Calculator?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The son of the devil?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, him. Yes. Yeah, the bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all the other characters, they're not exactly romanceable, but they are also, like, some kind of, like, monster-y, horror-adjacent character. Like, there are witches. There's, like, a coven.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach, their teacher, appears to be a tiger man. It's Tony the Tiger, but
yeah.
More man like maybe, and so on and so forth. There are other like characters that are also borrowed from other countries, like mythologies. Like I think there's like a one monster who's borrowed from like Thai mythology, like Thai, she's like a demon of some kind and so on and so forth. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think like I just like, for me personally, I feel like I liked the game partly because of the novelty of like the concept at that time. I think at the time when that game was getting popular and had first come out, the idea of like playing a dating sim that featured romancing monsters, like monster romances, maybe didn't feel as like as popular back then to some extent. I mean, they've always kind of been a thing to some extent. But maybe not so much as like oftentimes, like, maybe, like, the idea of, like, the monster being the object of affection isn't as welcomed. It's more so, like, the monster is pursuing somebody who is a human, who is the object of the monster's affection, and there's, like, some kind of, like, hesitancy or rejection there, kind of? I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah. I get what you're saying about the... It was sort of just coming into popularity as, like, an idea. And I feel like now monster romancing is, like, mainstream. Everyone knows about it. Anyone that wants to do it, interact with it, does.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'll probably go back to playing the game once it's winter here and I can't go anywhere.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of snow over where you are.
Yeah.
How about you, Sam? Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we'll probably get to it later, but, like, monster romance in novels, I feel like, is also ramping up as well, and not just in games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can talk about that now, honestly. I feel like this is a pretty good time to, like, transition to that, specifically because...
Yeah.
Yeah, just, like...
Go.
Monster,
go for it.
Monster romances. I mean, again, I think, like, historically, just, like, a lot of the times... maybe in North America more so, but, like, in, like, kind of, like, Western culture, the idea of, like, being in some kind of romantic relationship with a monster, usually it has, like, these really I guess I'll just say it has, like, these, like, really kind of, like, discriminatory, like, elements in it, right? Where it's, like, you know, we can think about, for example, like, the universal monsters, who are oftentimes, like, coded to be, like, racialized men, and the conflict in there a lot of the times is, like, they're pursuing this, like, young, beautiful white woman, and there's a lot happening there with regards to, like, racialization and colonization, but in... I think maybe not more recent years, but just, like, there's also been different interpretations of those stories or reclamations of those stories where the person who is usually thought to be pursued and, like, maybe does not want to enter this romance with a monster or relationship with a monster, you know, is telling their side of the story, and it's actually that they do desire being with the monster. Like, for example, like, in The Shape of Water, right? And in that story, the monster romance kind of serves more as, like, a discussion about marginalization and identifying with somebody who has a similar experience of being maybe ostracized or marginalized in society. But then also there are people who genuinely are, let's say, they're just into the idea of kissing monsters, you know? It's exciting to them. And I think this is where we talk about, like, in the past couple of years, what you were saying, Sam, like, the monster romance thing has become more popular in, like, fiction.
Yeah, fiction, fantasy books. Like, I just finished a series about vampires, but in that case, they're both vampires. But, like, I did read a different one of her series, which is Human Vampire. I don't know, do we want to get into reading monster
monster
fiction,
monster
like you fiction? Know, like when the couple is oh. they're both monsters, or versus like a human and a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, when you said The Shape of Water, I started thinking about Hellboy, but in that one, it's also like two people that have different powers, if you want to call it that. It's not like the woman is a human; mm-hmm. she has her own thing happening.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of interesting. I mean, I feel like the monster thing. I think I just to preface as well to the listener, I don't like read a whole lot of romance. I'm not really interested in romance and fiction in general. Possibly even in real life in general, but like I've found like monster romances are like a little bit more common, maybe because like there's the element of storytelling is kind of about like, oh, equals seeing each other and stuff like that. But like, I don't know, I'm thinking about like, think about Twilight, dude.
Yeah, as soon as Sam said vampires, I was like, Twilight was a thing that was a monster and not monster.
Mm-hmm.
I think I didn't read them.
I mean, spoiler alert, she eventually does become a vampire. Do you think, like, because of, like, the stereotype of, like, Twilight being popular, that if you say you're into monsters for romance, people will, like, typecast you as being, like, a Twilight lover or, like, a... Not that that's a bad thing. I like Twilight, but you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's a teenage girl thing. You know how, like, people always are, like, they tend to, I don't know, mock female interests?
Like, the idea that, like, well, at the time when it was being, the novels and the movies were, like, being marketed, the idea was, like, the fandom was mostly of, like, teenage girls and, like, kind of, like, mums because of some, like, element of it being, like, just being female-targeted, and therefore it's not as valuable.
Mm-hmm. And also being a romance.
Yeah, as opposed to just a generic fantasy monster thing. It's, like, romance mm-hmm. style.
Like, do you guys know the Underworld series? It's a movie?
No.
It's about werewolves and vampires. It's more violent. But, like, I don't know. Socially, do you think that is more accepted than, like, Twilight because of the romance aspect?
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if someone was like, oh, I really like Twilight, I'd be like, oh, so you just like the romance vampires. Like, okay, that's your thing. But if someone was like, oh, I like to read monster fantasy, I might be like, oh, okay, that's a different thing. Like, if you specify into vampires, I'm like, oh, okay, that's its own little like pocket genre over there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Monster stuff is a whole big thing, you know. That's how I feel.
I think for the heterosexuals, maybe, because for sapphics, our kind of like monster romance was Carmilla. Are you familiar with Carmilla? The thing that Brienne named her car after?
No, I am not, actually.
Carmilla is, I think it's a 19th century novel by Sheridan Le Fanu, who wrote a story about this young woman. She and her father are traveling. I think he's a doctor, and she's like, just like helping him out or whatever.